Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Christ Family Church in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Good morning and God bless you. We're so grateful that you joined us today. We're picking up where we left off yesterday, trying to find and practice the presence of God. So many people and so many things are vying for our attention, but we shouldn't be sidetracked. We need to focus on finding God, seeking after God. He said, knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Let's go into the presence of God today. Join us on this wonderful journey right now.
He said, when you're going to your prayer closet, close the door. We are already waiting for you.
That's right.
And I'll show you the scripture for that in a while. Amen. And so you can practice the presence of God. And I would encourage you, I'd rather practice the presence of God than practice my golf swing. Because my golf swing is not going to do what God can do. You see, let me just tell you this also. Money promises you everything that only God can deliver. I'm going to say that again for some of you that are so hooked up in the financial situation. We need to make funds. We need to earn funds. That's why we've got business meetings and we're going to do more. But it should not be the thing that you're chasing after before God. If you chase after God, your business and your finances are going to improve all the time. It gets better and better. But money promises you everything that only God can give you. Well, if I had enough money, I could see the best doctor on the planet. There's no healer. Nobody can heal you. No doctor can heal you. Now your eyes are getting big. No doctor can heal you. He can help you sleep. He can help you rest. He can even sew up the cut. But the flesh heals itself together. God is the healer. He is the source. And he gave doctors as a resource. Amen. And I love doctors and I never stop people going to them. I encourage people, go until your faith is really strong. But God is the healer.
Amen.
So money might promise you can get to the best doctors, the best hospitals. You don't need that. You need God. Now, please don't stop taking medication and don't, you know, when I pray for your eyes, make sure they heal before you take your glasses off or else drive on another road that I'm on.
Amen.
Don't be on the same street as me. Amen. Get your faith up, amen. Praise hallelujah. What's it to you? So you can practice the presence of God. You see, we don't become spiritual by reading books. Now, books can tell you how, but you've still got to practice it. You've got to practice the presence. What did you ever get good at that didn't take practice? I mean, business, you have to work it, you have to study it, you have to learn it, you have to know certain things. You have to know the principles of finances and what GDP means and all the kind of stuff in the world. And we're up 4.1, wonderful, what does it mean? Haven't got a clue. Well, if you want to be financially secure, you better find out some things. You can practice your sport. If you play tennis, you practice a backhand, the forehand, the backhand, the lob, run, the cut, the slice, topspin. You practice it and practice it and practice it, or else you're not going to be good. You're just not going to be good at it. Golf, you have to practice. Head down, keep that arm straight, swing. Get the basics and then work on the basics and practice and practice. Well, it's the same thing with God. You can practice being in His presence. How do you do it? The way you started to learn to play tennis. How did I learn to play tennis? The guy said to me, here comes a yellow green ball, hit it.
Yeah.
Right? And you, all over the show. No, your left leg goes down and you follow through and you keep your eye on the ball. You had to learn some things and then practice those things in order to become good at tennis or whatever it is you've chosen in your life to be good at. We have to practice. So, I think that we sometimes get mistaken and we get it all wrong. We practice everything else rather than practice being in His presence. Because I'm telling you now, I play golf and I'm not always full of joy when I play golf. Some of you play sports and you're not always full. Or your sports team plays. You might be a follower of, I don't know, the Eagles, whoever they are. And they lose. You're not full of joy at the end of that game, but in His presence is fullness of joy. He doesn't, you see, the Bible even says this. He says, the blessings of the Lord make it rich, and He adds no sorrow with it.
Amen.
We need to become closer to God. We need to get closer to God. Will God warn me of things to come? Absolutely. Will He tell me of things to do? Absolutely. Will He warn me about that business? Don't buy it. Will He warn me about that person? Don't marry him, her. Some of you wish you listened. But He also rectifies and fixes up. You know what? I had to pray a lot of, in my life. This was my prayer. You know what it was? It has got nothing to do with my family, but everything to do with the way I was living was this: bless my mess. Any of you had to pray that prayer? Lord, please bless my mess. I went to do this with my eyes wide open, not getting information from you, and now I'm sitting with 800 easy payments. Bless my mess. And now I don't want the thing anymore because it doesn't go fast enough, or it's not pretty enough, or it's not whatever. Bless my mess. In the meantime, if I'd gone to God and knew how God operates and knew how to be in His presence and hear His voice, I wouldn't have had to pray, bless my mess, because I wouldn't have bought it. I wouldn't have done it. I would have married, whatever it is. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You were warned. You were warned. Don't nudge your spouse now. I'm not talking about that. I don't want letters after this. I don't want to see people come after me. But you were warned by God. Don't do it. Don't buy it. Don't sell it. Don't what? You were warned. People said to you. God will speak through people as well. He'll speak through the TV to you. He'll give you warnings nonstop. You've got to be aware and look out for it. You see, when God talks to you in this room right now, there are thousands of voices. Thousands.
Amen.
I said thousands.
Amen.
They're all in the atmosphere. The airwaves are full of different voices. I can hear Russian. If I've got a little tuner and I tune into that Russian station, I'll hear Russian. I want to hear South Korea. Whoops, there I go. And I can hear Korean.
Amen.
I want to hear South African and I can tune in. All these voices are here. I've got to learn to tune into the voice of God. We can tune into the voice of God. That is a brilliant thing for us. We can live a life of victory. We're supposed to be living a life of victory.
Amen.
Amen? And so practice makes a difference. You can go to your room or find a place. He talks about the prayer closet, a private place, separated, set apart, where you're not going to be disturbed. And leave your phone in the other room and put it on mute or vibrate. TV shouldn't be near you at that stage. Do you understand? And you've got to get into a quiet place. And you've got to start practicing.
That's right.
Lord Jesus, I'm here.
That's right.
What do you want me to do? If that's how you do it, that's a great start.
Yes.
How do I do this, Lord? And all of a sudden you think, I think I'll just read a little bit of James. And God will start to lead you and guide you and direct you. And the more you do it, the easier it gets to hear God. When now at this stage of our lives, when God said to get this place, we just jumped in. Because we know God's voice. Get Okeechobee, jump in. Because we know God's voice. But it's taken years of practice. And I still do it every day of my life. Amen. And you don't have to just do it in your private time at home. When you're alone in your car driving to work, if you're not listening to Way FM or 89.9, you shouldn't be listening to nothing. No, it's okay to listen to oldies. I like the oldies, you know. And I hear songs that remind me, I did it my way. Oh, yeah, that was me. And then the other one, teardrops rolling down on my face. Oh, yeah, that was me. Trying to forget my... And then another one, when I woke up this morning, I was on my mind. Remember them? Remember them songs? It's okay to listen to them and have fun. It's okay to have a Christmas tree at the house. And it's okay to dress up like that guy in the beard and all that stuff. You know the guy I'm talking about? It's okay. It's not a crime. It's not a sin. God wants us to have fun, but not at the expense of having no relationship with Him.
Amen.
God says, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, some people say, well, He'll give you your needs, not your wants. Whoa, one of the most famous, in fact, I probably say the most famous psalm in the Bible written by David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not
want.
See, the good shepherd will never give you something bad for you. He will never give you something that's not going to agree with you. He'll never give you something that's contrary to his word.
Amen.
You won't have to wonder and worry when you're hooked up and you're in sync with God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so the key really, you want to know what the key is? When I really want something. Choice is the key. When I want something bad enough, I'll get it. Come on. You can look at me like deer in lights. I'm going to say it again. If I want something bad enough, I will do everything in my power to go and get it. Think about the woman you're married to or the man you're married to. Yeah? And you saw them the first time. I mean, I saw my wife. I went, va-voom. I did everything to woo her. If you want something bad enough, you will find a way to get it. When you want something bad enough, you will go out and get it. So now we were saying before, how bad do you love, how much do you love God? Do you really love God? Well, how much time did you spend with him yesterday? Come on. I mean, let's just call a spade, right? Let's just be honest with each other. I mean, how much quality time do I spend with God? Over the TV. Think about your television. How many hours do you possibly watch television? Now, don't get guilty. Don't get guilty because God loves us. God loves us. He wants to help us, all right? He doesn't mind you watching TV. It's what you watch that he minds. Amen. Maybe you should get Netflix and just go for the G's. And even the G rating is not always good. But how much TV do you watch in a week? Okay, work it out in your own head. I'll go real low. Half an hour a night. That would be a joke, half an hour a night. No one in here watches less than that. We all watch more than that, right? Okay, so if you watch half an hour a night, there's 7 nights in a week. John, how many is that? 3.5 hours?
Yeah.
3.5 hours. How many of you spent more than 3.5 hours with God? I'm talking quality alone, separated time. Now add it up to an hour a day that you watch TV. Okay? 7 hours. Did you give God more than that? Now add what you do with your children, what you do with your work. Come on. And let's see what's important to you. Do you spend more time on everything else than the kingdom of God? In his presence. I mean, we can get caught up in so many different things. Listen to this. And it's easy to make a short list. Over and above before God. Television. Movies. Books. Music, think about these things. Sports, working on our debts, family time, studies, maintenance of possessions, careers, material gain, competition, and even ministry. Think about all those things, how much time we put into that. And God says, seek me first and my righteousness. And then weigh it up and say, how much time do I spend in looking for God? Because I just want to say this again, God's not dead. He is alive. Amen? And if he is who he said he is in his word, I want him on my side and I want to be under his wing. I want to be in his shadow so that no weapon formed against me or my family will ever prosper. I want to be in his presence so that I'm always full of joy because I'm healed and I'm prosperous and I'm full of love for the people of God. You understand? And when I look at the time I spend doing necessary things and the time I spend with God, I can make some adjustments. We can all make some adjustments. So this is not a get down on you or anything like that. I want to encourage us, God wants to encourage us to draw closer to him, spend more time with God. And so maybe we want to look at our schedules and just say, okay, you know what? I could cut down. I'm going to cut down half an hour of TV a night. A week. That's 2 hours in a month that I can devote to God. And I'm going to choose to spend time with God. And then when I get into my private place, I'm going to say, Lord, here I am. I want to speak to you. I want to tell you my situation. I know you already know it, but I want to just tell you what I'm going through right now. I want to get it out of my mouth. And by faith, I believe you're going to give me the answers. I believe you're here with me right now. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with me right now. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We'll acknowledge.